verse of Scripture I would like to leave with you today. It's verse 25. Joshua chapter 6. Verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. There was a very sick and sad house in the city of Jericho. What was the matter? Was it poverty? No, it was much worse than that. Was it leprosy? No, much worse than that. Was it death? No. Much worse than that. For a daughter has forsaken her home, and her parents mourn her departure. And upon leaving home, she has fallen into gross sin. Whatever induced her to leave home, we do not know. We are not told. But now she lives alone and has turned her dwelling house into a house of ill repute. For the one that lives there is a woman called Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Yet this woman got saved. Rahab the harlot was wonderfully and gloriously saved, and saved by the grace of God. What does this teach us? This teaches us that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. This reminds us that there is salvation for the worst of sinners. It teaches us that grace can go deeper, further, higher than any sin that has ever entered into the heart of man. Grace rescued the demoniac in Gadara. Grace rescued an adulterer in Jerusalem. Grace rescued a thief at Golgotha. And grace rescued a harlot in Jericho. What rejoicing there must have been in the presence of the angels when Rahab got saved. Oh, what rejoicing there would be in the presence of the angels today if some soul in this meeting God wonderfully and gloriously saved. Let us consider this woman Rahab, and let us see what God and grace did for her. We must begin by looking at Rahab the sinner. Our text speaks about Rahab the harlot. In fact, her name, as we've already said, is mentioned 8 times in the Old and New Testament. 5 of those references, she is called Rahab the harlot. So here we have a description of Rahab. I think that no matter when or where Rahab's name is mentioned, people think of her sin. Sin leaves an indelible mark on a person's life and character. The sin of drunkenness, for example, will so stain and mark and blight a man's character that he will never be known as anything else, only so-and-so the drunkard. Rahab will never be known as anything else. Rahab the harlot. Her sin had branded her. Her sin had blighted her. So much so that no father, no mother today would consider calling their daughter Rahab. No one would think about giving that name to the daughter they love because of the reputation of this woman. Because sin had so blighted her and branded her name forever. Rahab the harlot. And yet, wonder of wonders, God made Rahab one of His own. Dear friend, today, sin has left its mark on you also. Oh, you may not be Rahab the harlot. You may not be like any of the other sinners we've mentioned, the adulterer in Jerusalem, or the demoniac of Gadara. Nevertheless, you're a sinner. Sin has left a mark that you cannot erase. Sin has left a stain in your life that you cannot wash away. Romans 3, verses 22 and 23. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mark the words. There is no difference. People tend to think because they attend church that makes them different. Not at all. People tend to think because they haven't done anyone any harm that makes a difference. No, it doesn't. No difference at all. Because even your good works are stained by your sin. God will not accept anything that is stained with sin. So you see, sin has left its mark. Bless God, the one who saved Rahab today. He can save you. Not only do we have a description of Rahab, we have the danger for Rahab. Rahab lived in the city of Jericho, which, as the Lord revealed to Joshua, the city was to be destroyed. The word of the Lord had decreed it. Nothing that the people within the city could do about it. They had this walled city. The unfaithful spies said that the walls went up to heaven. sort as they were concerned. That city could never be captured. That city could not be taken, but they had forgotten about the God in heaven. And the word of the Lord had decreed it that Jericho would be taken. The Lord told Joshua there in verse 2 of chapter 6 of Joshua, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. As far as the Lord was concerned, as we noted this morning, as far as the Lord was concerned, Jericho was already taken. It had already been captured. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. That city was abiding under the very curse of heaven. Look at verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. It was the accursed city. City was cursed and all that lived therein. Rahab lived there. Rahab was in danger. She was in the place of destruction. You know, my friend, it is a very solemn thing when the word of the Lord is against you. The word of the Lord was against Jericho and all the inhabitants. When the word of the Lord is against you, you are without hope. Let me read to you a few verses from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 4. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Listen to these words. Woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast, and the nation of the Kerethites. The word of the Lord is against you. O Canaan, the land of the Philistines, I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. And dear hearer today, all those cities that are mentioned in Zephaniah, all the cities that had the word of the Lord against them, where are they today? Nowhere. Cannot be found. Destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth. Why? Because the word of the Lord was against them. The word of the Lord was against Jericho and all who lived therein. And Rahab lived there. So that put her in a place of danger. And today without Christ, the word of the Lord is against you. My friend, today without Christ, you are sitting in the place of danger. For the day of destruction is coming. The day when the earth will quake. The day when the sun becomes as black as sackcloth. The day when the moon shall be turned into blood. You will be like those who dwelt in the city of Jericho and like those who died there in that doomed city. Except you escape today to that mountain called. Him.
where your hope lies.
There was no hope for the inhabitants of Jericho within the city.
There was no hope for Rahab within the city. Her hope was in God. That's where your hope is today.
Notice further the dwelling of Rahab. Joshua chapter 2, we are told exactly where Rahab dwelt. Joshua 2, verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Now, when Jericho would be captured and destroyed, the first part of the city to be taken would be the wall. For Israel would march round that wall 13 times. And on the 13th time, when they would blow the trumpets and the people would shout, the wall would fall down flat right into the ground. The Israelites would go straight on before them. The wall. And those who dwelt on the wall would experience the judgment of God first. The judgment of God would come upon them first before it fell upon the people who live within the city. My unsaved friend today, God's judgment may come to you first. You may be in line. The judgment of God. You will face God's judgment before perhaps your neighbor or your friend. Think of the thousands plunged into eternity there in New York and Washington and Pennsylvania 2 weeks ago. Wonder many were saved. Lord, at those plains, little did they know that in a matter of minutes they would be plunged in to eternity, and many were saved. Those who were not saved, judgment came to them first. And perhaps you will follow them. You'll go right behind them. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to get saved today. We've been praying that those tragedies would awaken people in America and Canada, throughout the world, awaken them to their need of Jesus Christ. And awaken them to the truth that they dare not boast themselves of tomorrow. For they know not what a day may bring forth. If you had been traveling in one of those planes, where would you be today? Where would your soul be? I think you can answer that question. You know, if you were not saved, not prepared, you'd be in the darkness of hell forever. That's the truth. Next, we have not only Rahab the sinful one, but we have Rahab the soft one. Joshua sent two men to spy out the city before the attack. They came to the house of Rahab. go back to Joshua chapter 6 again. And here we have, concerning the seeking of Rahab, Rahab contacted. I remember Rahab's a Canaanite, she's a Gentile, not an Israelite. But contact was made with Rahab through the two spies. We're told that they went up to the city and they entered into the house of Rahab. May I go back, sorry, to chapter 2. There we read in verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab. There's the contact. Wonderful. When we behold examples of the providence of God. The two spies could have gone into any house on the walls there of Jericho, but they didn't. In the providence of God, they were led by a sovereign God to go to the house of Rahab. And it was while the spies were in the house of Rahab that Rahab was brought to a knowledge of the truth. See that in a moment. As we have gathered here today, we plan to be here. We plan to go up to the house of God this Lord's Day morning. But we are here today in the providence of God. Something could have happened along the way that we would not have made it to the Lord's house today. But we're here. God has brought us here, and we're here in His providence. And to any here this morning without Jesus Christ, the providence of God has brought you here and brought you into contact for that. You ought to thank God. Because there are millions in this world and they've never heard the gospel. And there are millions in this world who never will hear the gospel. But in the providence of God, God has brought you in. Not receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're without excuse. Because God has brought you into contact with the truth. Then we notice not only was Rahab contacted, but we see here that Rahab was charitable. Look again at chapter 2 of Joshua. We read in verse 4, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. Verse 6, and she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. To the king, when he heard that these two spies had come, king wanted to know why they were there. And so what did this woman Rahab do? Rahab put her own life on the line. She hid the spies. And then she diverted the king's servants She was most charitable to the spies that Joshua sent out. But I want to say this. It wasn't her charity that saved her. It wasn't her charity that delivered her. It was rather her faith. By grace are ye saved through charity? No. By grace are ye saved through faith. The sad thing is that there are millions and they're resting on their charity, their charitable works. They're resting on their charity for eternity. And it will fail them when the day of judgment comes. The Lord speak about those who will say on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, we have done many great things in thy name. And the Lord shall say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. I never knew you. We can do great things. Yes, and we can do them in the name of the Lord. But all our doing, what Jesus Christ has done. Not what we have done. It's what Christ has done. What he has done on Calvary. That makes the difference. Then we notice further Rahab's confession. Look again at Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. And before they were led down, that is the spies, she came up unto them upon the roof. Now here it was near the end of the day. It was as if Rahab had to get something settled before she herself lay down upon her bed. And I trust before this day, what did she do? She went up to the roof to the two spies and said in verse 9, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And she goes on to say, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Remarkable. Notice what she confessed to. She confessed, first of all, to being familiar with the truth. Rahab was familiar with the truth because she said in verse 9, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. That was the truth. How did you know that? I don't know how she came to know the truth, but she certainly knew it. She was familiar with the truth. My I speaking to someone today, like Rahab, you're familiar with the truth. You're familiar with the truth of this book. You know you're a sinner. You know that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, to seek and to save. You know that if you repent of your sin, you'll be converted. Your sins will be blotted out. You know that Christ died for sinners, shed His blood. You're familiar with all these things. Why are you not seeing it? Remember when Paul stood before Agrippa? He's being examined by Agrippa. Paul never gave up an opportunity to preach the gospel, wherever, no matter where he was, whether in a prison or in a palace. And when they had finished with his defense, he says to King Agrippa, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. King Agrippa, I know that you're familiar with the truth. I know you've read the prophets. I know that you're familiar with what they said. Believest thou the prophets? Paul said, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, familiar with the truth. He was almost persuaded. But sadly for King Agrippa, he was not altogether persuaded. You think of that man's eternity now. You think of the eternity he has spent already, knowing the truth, ever having been fully persuaded. I believe hell will be two hells for that soul that dies without Christ, yet at the same time having a knowledge of the truth. She was familiar with the truth. She was fearful of tomorrow. Chapter 2 and verse 11. She said to the spies, she said, as soon as we had heard, now she includes herself, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts, including herself, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. She was fearful. She was afraid of tomorrow. She was afraid of what the future held for her and for her city. She says our hearts did melt when she considered what would befall the city of Jericho. And I tell you this today, the man or the woman or the young person who's not saved, they ought to be. Till they get right with God. I remember hearing the gospel preached in a tent mission in Portadown when Dr. Paisley preached the word. He preached one night on hell. And I remember going home that night and I couldn't get to sleep. I was afraid of wakening up in hell. I was afraid. I had every right to be afraid.
Rahab could see. She settled it that night. She got right with God that night before the dawn of the next day. How do I know? Look again at verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, he says, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God. There's her confession. She believes in the God of Israel. The Lord your God, He is God. In heaven above and on earth beneath. Oh yes, Rahab hid the spies. Rahab was charitable, but it wasn't the hiding of the spies that saved her. I know that from Hebrews 11:31. By faith, listen, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. Rahab was a believer. She was a believer in the God of Israel. She had received Him by faith. Paul tells us that. She wasn't saved by works. Even though she's commended for what she did. But it was her faith in God. She became a believer that night. Will you become a believer today? Before this day ends, will you say in your own heart, I believe. Then we notice also Rahab's concern. Chapter 2 again, Joshua, verse 12. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house. And give me a true token, verse 13. And that ye will save alive my father, my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. There's her concern. She has no sooner given her heart to the Lord, received the God of Israel by faith, become a believer, and she now has a concern for her. Every child of God has a concern for their family, for those that are still outside of Christ. We cannot leave them lost alone. We want them over there. But let's look at it another way, perhaps. Someone here this morning, and you're a member of a family. You're the one that's still outside. You've not been gathered into Christ. Before this day ends, make sure you're in Christ. For you know not what is on tomorrow. Finally and quickly, we have Rahab the saved one. Rahab asked the spies how she and her house would be saved when the walls fell. Verse 12, Joshua 2. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Now think of it, the children of Israel come and they march around the walls, around and around and around. How would Joshua's soldiers know which was
Rahab's house, so that that house might be saved and the people who live there might be saved. Verse 21, Joshua 2. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Verse 18, the spies had told her, bind the scarlet line in the window. And when we see the scarlet line, we will pass over you. In Exodus chapter 12, we read there about another token, and the word token is used. It's the night of the Passover, the night when Israel would be brought out of Egypt. And in chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token on the houses, where are ye? And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Scarlet thread would remind us of the red, life-giving blood of Christ. And it was the sight of the scarlet thread that saved Rahab and her family. And it was the sight of that scarlet red blood that saved Israel. My friend, there's only one way you can be saved. That's by the blood. It's only through the blood. Are you under the blood today? Are you still working on your good works? It's only when the Lord sees the blood that He'll pass over you in the day of judgment. So we have the token and the transformation. What a transformation took place in Rahab's life. Consider her life. We were introduced to Rahab the sinner, the harlot. Then we read of her trusting in the God of Israel. We read of her faith and believing. But consider what James, the Apostle James, said about Rahab. And this, for me, really brings home the truth about Rahab and the transformation that took place in her life. James chapter 2, verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? I don't run away with the idea and think that Rahab was different from everybody else and was justified by works when everybody else was justified by faith. What James is saying here, look at the context. He's saying here that when someone gets saved, their works do follow them. You know a justified person because they're involved in doing a work for God. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. But the bit that I want you to get here is Rahab was justified. This old sinful wretch, dressed in the filthy rags of her corruption and iniquity, when she believed, she was justified. To receive the beautiful robe, the robe of the righteousness of Christ, imputed to her, and receive life. Her life, her loved ones. Look at Joshua 2 again. I must confess this is something I hadn't noticed before. But there in Joshua 2, verse 18, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." The family was reconciled. Isn't it wonderful what Christ can do? Wonderful what God can do. Rahab had lived on her own, separated from her family. The family is reconciled. Her loved ones have been brought into her house. Joshua 6, 17 and verses 17 and 25 we see there that her family was saved also. And her line, I'll have to close with this. If you turn to Matthew 1 verse 5. Matthew 1 verse 5. Here's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Look at verse 5. Matthew 1. "And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab," or Rahab. "Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David the king," and so forth and so on. This is the generation of Jesus Christ. And we find that Rahab married Salmon. Who was Salmon? Salmon was a prince in Judah. And they had a son, Boaz, and Boaz married Ruth. Here's Rahab, the scarlet sinner. Where is she now?